Jurassic Park 3, Spinosaurus Potter, by Gojira 126, read by Sam Gabriel, based on the works of Michael Crichton and J.K. Rowling. Chapter 22. By the time everyone else arrived at Isla Nublar, Chell was vibrating with excitement. After the storm had passed, she, along with James, Lily, Bellatrix, and Flitwick, were arriving on Isla Nublar. The young Iwi woman stepped off the boat ramp and took a deep breath of the fresh, warm air, the sun warming her body. She enjoyed the land after storms like that. Those storms were frequent on Skull Island, a simple fact of life. They were more frequent in the later parts of the year, the storms providing the massive amounts of water that Skull Island needed to thrive year-round. She felt the warm sand under her feet, and as she looked around, smiling in delight as she spotted one of the ancient reptiles above the trees. Flitwick chuckled at her side, the half-human, half-goblin smiling warmly. "Ah, the mind of those that love knowledge," he chuckled before a vehicle drove up, one of the security teams having gotten some transportation. "Ah, all right, is here. Ladies first, after all." Climbing into the back of the jeep, Chell giggled as Flitwick was helped into the back seat with her as the married Potters took another jeep. Bellatrix shifted into her Indominus Rex form and followed, seeming to enjoy the warm sun on her scales. They quickly made their way across the island to where they had set up base camp, which was where the abandoned visitor's center was. Once the vehicle stopped, Chell hopped out and looked around to get her bearings. There were simple buildings built around the visitor center with fences around that had electric generators connected to them, simple defenses. She felt more than saw several eyes at the darker edge of the trees. Looking in that direction, she swore she saw something that looked like a Venatosaurus looking back through the trees. Then the shadows moved as huge raptors came rushing out of the darkness, deadly intent clear. She was about to cry out a warning before Bellatrix stepped into the clearing, jaws snapping around the leader of this assault. The painful screams of the raptor filled the air as the rest of the pack paused in shock before the crunch of its body silenced it. The massive predator growled before devouring the raptor whole, grunting as she looked at the rest of the pack with a hungry gaze. The rest of the pack slowly backed away, trying not to gain the ire of the white-scaled predator before they all bolted into the trees. Bellatrix growled in amusement, shaking herself before returning to her human form. Chell couldn't help but blush at the warrior-like pose Bellatrix unintentionally stood in as she smirked. She didn't realize the outside world was so different. Maybe there would be more. James frowned as he looked at Sirius, thinking to himself before finally speaking. "So," he said, "we don't know what they took, and any of those they got left behind offed themselves before they could get caught." "Or let some of the larger predators devour them," Sirius said. "It was weird that someone would send a group here to just release a monster like that. It's suspicious, if you ask me." James frowned more as he looked over the railing at Lily as she was looking through the security footage for anything that could help them. "So what in the dark?" James asked. "Mostly," Lily said from her place at the computer. "At least we've got plans already in the works to ward the islands, turning them into sanctuaries and facilities to clone the dinosaurs. Some information I've heard is that we might be able to dispense with the modern inclusion of animal DNA and go pure DNA only." "And so you're saying that this park didn't produce the pure species?" James asked in a deadpan, giving Lily a look. Sirius spoke up. "Nope. Seems like former InGen Dr. Henry Wu pioneered the science of prehistoric cloning. However, he had to use intermediaries to correct a lot of the damaged DNA that was discovered in the field. The eggheads at Biocene have been doing more research into Wu's methods and might have discovered a way to clone purebred dinosaurs. That will mean that we'll be having to use Alan Grant and Fleur a lot more." James pondered on that before he smiled. "I think we might have some bone sites on Isla Cranio, if we want to bring back prehistoric dragons." Sirius grinned. "Now that's a draw on the non-magicals. Living proof that dragons were real, but were driven to extinction by nature and their own actions." James nodded. "Exactly. Something like that wouldn't go amiss in the science community." "The dragon reserves are still trying to figure out how the dragon evolved," so Skull Island may help us on that. Sirius pondered. Not even looking around the islands. Dragons were flies, after all. James pondered on that before nodding. I'll see if Alan is willing to start digging up mythical animal bones. Fleur Delacour was loving her life at the moment, as she was busy brushing off the bones of an animal from Earth's past. In the year, with the involvement of the Potters, Alan Grant had discovered 3 new dinosaur species. Of course, with the help of magic in these digs, they were quickly and effectively evacuated. One of them was a new species of herbivore that looked like a sauropod crossbred with an ankylosaur. A well-armed and armored herbivore indeed. She had been digging in the rocks of Montana at a new dig site when something was discovered that would change paleontology. Alan was at another site not far from her own when a commotion began, getting Fleur's attention. She walked over, tying her shirt tighter around her as she looked over her boss's dig. What she saw made her jaw drop, the reality of the discovery kicking in. The skeleton was that of a dragon, as several of the non-magicals were staring in shock at this. It seems, Alan said at her side, making Fleur jump. We might have to rewrite the history books. Fleur glowered at her boss before nodding in agreement as she saw one of the non-magicals run up, panting loudly. Dr. Grant, he said, taking very deep breaths. Our site teams have confirmed that this is authentic. Not a forgery, at all. Fleur grinned as she walked over and started writing down her observations on the skeleton of the dragon, noting its size and length. It was larger than a Tyrannosaurus, having the build of a wyvern, but what gave it away was the wing bones. This prehistoric dragon's wings allowed it to walk like any regular quadruped animal would. Its long serpentine body showed that this species of dragon probably lived in areas where being serpent-like was necessary to survive. Its horned head was filled with sharp teeth and several fangs that acted like an outer layer of teeth that interlocked snugly. Massive fingers on the wings showed gripping power, as did the feet that looked like they could snatch up small hadrosaurs with ease. She was about to start sketching a few images before another commotion got her attention, her wand entering her hand. Looking up, she saw at least a dozen people hurling spells at the paleontologists. Fleur cursed before firing back, catching one in the chest. The man died with a hole blasted into his body as Fleur was joined by several gun-wielding squibs that Alan had hired from InGen Security. The invaders shouted something that sounded like Chinese, but Fleur couldn't hear it as the man that shouted the loudest had his head taken off. As someone seemed to be trying to get to the newest discovery of the century, possibly to destroy or transfigure it into a different species. She hissed before hurling a transfiguration spell of her own, turning another of the magical invaders into a fleshy spear before hurling the spear through 2 of his buddies. The last of the attackers seemed to get the gist that they would not be winning here today and try to escape. However, the wards that covered the dig site had been activated. Any escape attempt was swiftly ended as the attackers were knocked out with wands snapped. Fleur huffed darkly before walking to the main tent, finding herself a computer. She got an email sent to the Potter inbox at InGen before closing the computer down to save the power for the camp. Stepping outside, Fleur smirked as the surviving attackers were put into magical suppression cages and kept out cold. She spotted Alan as he talked over the phone line with someone, probably a representative of either InGen or Biosyn. From the looks of thoughtfulness, probably Biosyn. Biosyn was the better option of the pair of cloning companies, in all honesty. Understand that we can't clone it until we find more of this species, Alan was saying, looking over the massive dragon as several Muggleborns were using spells to see if they could track down any more of the same species. And that we need to let the wider world know of this discovery. I don't think anyone will be saying it's a fake when the samples come in and it's a fully complete skeleton. Fleur chuckled as she pulled out her pad again and started sketching out the animal that would have lived with the dinosaurs, hunting them from the skies. Probably even devouring a few pterosaurs as well, mid-flight snacks, if she could imagine that as a thing. She wondered if this species could breathe fire. Hopefully they could discover some evidence of that, maybe even get a few dragonologists from a dragon reserve or two, to see what species this could have evolved into. Around this time of year, Cho Chang knew that she would be having to head back to Hogwarts. Due to the early arrival of the outpost with this year's letters, she was currently in Diagon Alley to get her supplies. At her side was the Indoraptor, on all fours as it looked around the alley like it was looking for weak points. As she stepped into Gringotts, she noticed her familiar was on edge before she walked up to a teller. "Nyman Vokey," the goblin said, in what was akin to boredom. She handed her Vokey over as she stated her name to the teller. The goblin nodded, studying the key before motioning her to a fellow goblin that had walked up.
"Follow Arnulf to the carts."
An hour later, Cho was leaving Gringotts with a purse full of coins and her familiar at her side. First heading to the clothing shop, she got her robes for the next year before heading to the bookshop. Soon she was busy looking at the newest book with a sneer, one that wasn't even worth the paper it had been written on, one that her mother had killed the author over, and wasn't even that good of a book. "Defensive Magical Theory by the late Wilbert Slinkard," she sneered before looking at her familiar.
"I think we have to plan to remove this person that used this waste of parchment," she told her familiar, who seemed to understand the disgust of both the book and the former living being.
"I believe your talents will be needed."
But first, a letter to her parents. Her mother had slaughtered Slinkard when he tried to negotiate Cho into a contract with his nephew. Slinkard was killed by his own book, slashing him into many little ribbons as the rest of Cho's family took out Slinkard's. Cho couldn't help but feel utterly justified at this, as her only love was for Cedric. The Hufflepuff was also with his father this summer, one of the only reasons why she was stuck at home. The Indoraptor huffed before snatching the book out of her hands and biting it in half, causing one of the staff to get mad.
"Did you know that this book is an insult to every witch and wizard everywhere?"
she asked the staff member, causing the man to stop.
"This man, Slinkard, isn't even someone to talk about defense, and everything that he has should be burned in a cauldron. I would suggest that you destroy all of his books before I have my family come and tear it out ourselves."
The man shook, as the magical Chinese mafia was a rather well-known threat in magical Britain.
Yes, ma'am, but it's the ministry that ordered it, not me."
She glowered at the shop owner before banishing an entire shelf of the book away with a flick of her wand. She left soon afterwards, going to the local ice cream shop before going home. Dr. Henry Wu was with several of his guards as he watched the team he paid with good money drive into the building that had become his headquarters. Commander Stone stepped out of the truck before motioning to several of his men, who flipped open the back of a convoy truck before several body bags were passed to them. He frowned before Stone walked up, looking rather upset.
"Did anything happen on your trip, Commander Stone?"
Wu asked, eyebrows rising.
"No," he said, motioning to the bags. "I think we found some of your experiments on board."
The bags were opened to show creatures that Wu immediately identified as some sort of bat species unknown to mankind, its arms having changed from wings, the identification of where ears would be with the huge skull. The next one opened definitely confirmed his suspicions. The likeness to the bat was undeniable, large ears, oversized fangs, and single fingers on the large front limbs.
"These are not my creations," he said, looking closer at them before pulling a radio out of his pocket and speaking into it. "We have a code green in convoy parking 18. Full coverings and study to be given to the subjects."
In a few moments, fully covered scientists in hazmat suits came in and collected the bodies. Wu looked at the commander before motioning the man to follow him.
"All those lost will have their pay given to any living relatives," Wu said, pulling out a pad to look at some data. "As I will be needing you for more specialized tasks, which you have already done."
"You want me and my men to collect animals for you?" Stone growled, glowering at Wu.
Wu stopped and gave Stone a calculated look.
"I want animals that are on the island of the skull, Isla Cranio. They're evolutions of prehistoric animals. You will have all the equipment and armor as required. Even triple the pay, if you want to go that far. I am being very generous here, as you brought some very evolved bats into my lab. Something that makes me wonder what Skull Island has that we don't know about."
Stone seemed to pause, thinking before nodding.
"I expect half of the triple rate up front, and a plan of how to deal with animals of prehistoric nature."
"I expect nothing less," Wu said before motioning Stone to follow him once more.
My contacts will have all your equipment ready in 3 weeks. I believe that'll be enough time for your men to unwind from your previous mission and get ready for this one, yes?
More than that, Stone agreed before grunting. You left several creatures on Nublar. Demons, from the look of them.
Wu snorted. Demons? No. A new DNA sample was discovered and was being field-tested. However, they were originally cuttlefish mixed with spider-monkey DNA. What you saw was something that caused a spike of evolution, as I see it. The end results would make the nightmares of one Harold Phillips Lovecraft even more alive. Now I have some insiders on the InGen security that I have been secretly securing data for you to study in the next 3 weeks. I expect your team will be trained for these evolved animals. They are not some brainless monsters that man from centuries ago thought were four-legged fat lizards. Stone snorted.
It'll be simple to train for. We're professionals for a reason.
Luna Lovegood was enjoying her day, having spent it with the fairies around the pond her family had. Her father was busy writing for the Quibbler, and her mother was enjoying time with her daughter. The older Lovegood looked like what an elf would be described as, most of Luna's looks coming from her. Her body was also one that a lot of witches were envious of, a few even trying to spell her mother into a hag because of it. Pandora Celeste Lovegood was always one that disliked combat, but if Luna was in the crossfire, death was assured.
Oh,
Celeste said, her eyes glazing over before she smirked at Luna. Your dinosaur love interest is going to return home soon, a week or so before you leave for school. Luna smiled, warmth filling her as she remembered Harry when they had been together before he had left for the 5 Death Islands and the Island of the Skull. The boy that had filled her mind and her dreams as she grew up. Something that was rather interesting to think about. It was because of these visions that allowed Luna to save her mother from being tragically killed by her own alchemical creation. Harry seemingly had known the danger her mother was in and warned Luna to save her. She wondered if he remembered that event as vividly as she did.
When he returns, Luna said, I'll take him out for some ice cream.
We both enjoy that, Celeste chuckled.
He'll probably have more ladies with him.
Luna shrugged.
He needs a family. It's something he craves more than anything.
She then softly sang.
Cool and cold like winds on the sea, will you ever return to me? Hear my voice, sing with the tide. My love will never die.
Celeste frowned, a soft fear filling her soul upon hearing that song. She hoped this wasn't what her husband had feared would happen. Finalizing the plans for the month, he looked up from his stone-carved desk as two of his kin walked in. Both of the carnivore side of the reptile family, survivors of the cataclysm that ended the Age of Scales. He smirked as one held up a crystal container that held the soul of one piece of a whole, one piece of Voldemort. The primate evolution called humanity was building themselves upon the shoulders of giants, and they didn't know it.
I see you drag Doc Quarry here, he said, his voice a deep growl of a baritone. Excellent work, kinsman. Give him to the Earth Warpers to collect the pieces of his ravaged soul. I want him to obey us by the end of the year. He'll be a stepping stone to our reconquest of our home. Thankfully, we don't need to industrialize much. Just shift the tones of industry to fit our needs far better.
The two nodded with smirks, the crystal shaking from the wrath of the soul shard inside. As they left, another of the kin stepped in. An evolution of the Ceratopsian, she had a short frill and sharper horns, standing like all the kin on her hind legs. She handed him a file before speaking.
I have the reports on Grindelwald, what his plans were and how he plans to shape the future of the ones called witches and wizards. Also some good blackmail on the man's former friend, Dumbledore. Quite a bit, however, I cannot see him bringing harm to one of the shifters.
He frowned, tensing at her wording.
Shifter? Is that what you said?
She nodded.
Indeed, shifters. We have a few already showing their true heritage up above us.
Shifters, a term used for those humans that changed into the ancient species of old before evolution took hold. They were not the ones called Animagus, ugly imitations of those that were shifters.
Who are they? And do we have teams ready to extract them at a moment's notice before the humans will try to experiment upon them?
She smirked.
I already have the best watching them, don't you worry. They're keeping me informed of their whereabouts near hourly, and there are about 7 that are known. 6 with the chance and 4 that are being extracted as of right now.
He pondered on those numbers, 17 if he counted right. 17 of those that are of his ancient kin, the ones that could bring back the age of Reptilia. Of course, it would have to be utterly planned out so nothing could go awry in the first place. He nodded before pressing into a gem and speaking into it.
Have the Homo Reptilicus report to kinswoman Trecrea within the half-work cycle.
Pulling his hand away from the gem, he looked at Trecrea before continuing.
I want what the humans called lizard men to be the first ones to bring our newer kin into the fold. They are known to the Homo sapiens above, so it would be much easier if they did this. If that is all.
Trecrea shook her head with a frown.
It is not, for I have more. Especially on the shifter called Harry Potter.
End of Arc 1. For the full text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Gojira 126. Music from Jurassic Park for the Nintendo Game Boy, gratefully used by permission of composer John Dunn. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact info on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find links to other stories that I've read, my Discord server where you can attend live recordings of all of my ongoing projects, and various ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.